Samuel. And let's see. Second Samuel chapter 2. There's a lot going on in this chapter. Yeah, that reminds me, I gotta put my phone up too. There's a lot going on in this chapter, and I don't know, I try to get through the chapters one at a time as best we can, but there's a lot of things. There's a transition from the old administration to the new administration in Israel. There is several personalities that get dealt with, or you start to see emerge in when things change, then when positions of authority change, then other things change, and then people, you start to see certain things in certain people, and anyway, you've got Joab showing up and Abner showing up, and at least in a different way than they'd showed up before. But we're not going to get to any of those guys today. Just four verses, 2 Samuel chapter 2. And the subject this morning is waiting on God's timing. Waiting on God's timing. And I can tell you about it in this sermon, but I won't be able to teach that to you this morning. I can just tell you about it. So I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to tell you about it in the form of David's life. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron. So David went up thither, his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, Abigail, Nabal's wife the Carmelite, and his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul." I'm going to stop there, because we're just going to deal with waiting on God's timing here. David has been, he's known he's going to be king for 12, 13 years at this point. He's had opportunities to take over the throne of Israel. He has had opportunities to hate Saul, knowing that he would be Saul's replacement. He's had opportunities to even kill Saul and remove him. And you would think that may be a solution, particularly when this man's hunting your life, to remove him and at your own hands. And so David's had those opportunities, but David never got ahead of God in any of this. He waited for at least 12 years. And even at this point, this is the second time he's anointed. He was first anointed when he's 16 or 17 years old. And now the men of Judah, which is his tribe, that's his group of people, his family, they've accepted him as king, but the larger nation hasn't yet. And see how that plays out in the following chapters. But David has known something was going to happen for a while, but he never made it happen. He never took matters into his own hands when it looked like he should. I mean, some of the people that were traveling with David and fought with David thought he should take matters into his own hands and get rid of Saul, and he was even encouraged to do that a few times. But David has successfully endured the obvious opportunities to take matters into his own hands. He's successfully done nothing when it seemed like something should be done. He's managed himself under pressure, under peer pressure, under the ups and downs, really, of running for his life while serving God. I mean, remember, David's running for his life, but he's still serving God while doing it. Remember, he's still fighting Amalekites even when he's living in Philistine territory. He's still trying to fight the enemies of God. He's still doing what he knows is right to do. And so when he asks this question at the beginning in 2 Samuel chapter 2, do I go to Judah now? He's asking because he's living with the Philistines. And so it looks like Saul's dead now. Saul has committed suicide. Saul's dead. And it looks like, okay, now is the time. But even though it looks that way, David is still careful to make sure with the Lord that this timing is correct. I mean, he is very, very much doesn't want to take a step in his life without the Lord's direction. He doesn't want to move in any direction unless the Lord says, this is what you need to do. So he asks the Lord, and the Bible records, I think, 7 times that David inquired of the Lord something. It has that phrase in there. And so he inquires of the Lord and asks the Lord, do I go up now? Is now the right time? And you know, time and timing are different things, but is now the right timing for this? And the Lord says, yes, go up to Hebron. And so he goes up to Hebron. And he's going to be king of Judah for a few years before the larger nation of Israel accepts him as king. They're not going to accept him as king yet. David was a celebrity in some places and not a celebrity in other places. And he was hated in some places. And so it's not a real uniform, you know, blanket statement. You know, everybody loves David. He's the hero. Yeah, they sang songs about him, but some people hated him. Saul's family hated David for the most part. Many of Saul's family. You'll see Abner. This man doesn't like David, but we'll deal with that in future lessons. This is about waiting on God, and this is about God's timing. I've heard some funny phrases about timing. Here's a prayer about timing. Somebody said, Lord, help me with patience. Not the opportunities to be patient. I've had plenty of those. Just patience itself. Patience is what you have when there are too many witnesses. Here's a prayer. Lord, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I'm going to need bail money. And here's a thought. Have patience, because only weeds grow quickly. That's true. The first thing I want you to notice about David is David knew what he was waiting on. There's a specific thing David's waiting on. And I know if you have patience, there's something you're waiting on. It's not just a general waiting on God. That's looking for direction. Like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. But if you know what the next step is, now you have something you're waiting on. David knew he was going to be king. He knew what he was supposed to be king, but he didn't rush that. So it starts with a promise from God. I remember I don't necessarily like using personal testimonies, but I will say I remember in my own life, I knew at some point I would be a pastor long before I was ever a pastor. That was just, I don't know, between me and the Lord, I don't know how to explain that. I don't know how else to say that. But I knew that would happen long before it happened. And then there was even a point in time where it was just like, well, if it doesn't ever happen, then, you know, maybe I miscalculate, whatever. I just, whatever the Lord wants me to do. It's just in the Lord's hands. But waiting specifically for something. David knows he's going to be king. And so that's what he's waiting on. So there's always the temptation when you know God's planning something with your life, then there's the temptation to grab a hold of that thing and make it happen right now. Like, I know this is where I'm supposed to be, so I'm going to go do it. I have some friends, and they probably same situation. They knew they would be pastors at some point in their lives, and so they sort of took, you know, the first opportunity that presented itself under counsel otherwise. Don't do this. This is not a good idea. Don't go to this church. Don't do this. And, you know, 6 months later, they're not in the church anymore. And that, but that's the temptation, is I know what God wants out of my life. And so my temptation is to go make that thing happen. The act of faith, though, is to wait and let God make it happen. Let His timing be the timing. That's David. That's David. If you're waiting on, now here's another side of this, though. If you're waiting on something that God didn't promise, that's what you got to be careful of, making up promises that God didn't say this is going to happen, and then we keep waiting on something. Well, God said it's going to happen, and you can pray that He would change His mind or that He would make it happen a certain way, but if there's nothing to wait on, you know, you understand? I mean, I hope you understand what I'm saying. If there's nothing to wait on, no promise from God, no statement from God that, hey, this is going to happen. For instance, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you know one day your body will be changed. You know that. You know that's going to happen. And that's something you wait on. Now, how do you wait? That's something we'll get to. How do I wait? I can make that happen. I mean I can try to make that happen, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. David knew what he was waiting on. He's waiting to be king. He didn't rush it, and so he's not manipulating things. He's very careful to seek God's counsel. Now the next thing is, if you know what you're waiting on, and be careful that you know what you're waiting on. What you're waiting on is a biblical thing. Just as a caution, the Bible says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." So if you have a hope or an expectation that's not biblical, it will make you depressed. It will make you sad. It will make you blame God for something that he didn't say was going to happen in the first place. So you just have to be careful that what you're waiting on is something God said to wait on. He says, wait on this, like in David's life. The second thing is, I don't know if it's more important or equally important, David knew why he was waiting. He knew why he was waiting. It's a simple thought, is because God's timing is the right timing. But if you are hasty in your business, if you're hasty and get ahead of God, inevitably what that means is you're either going to have to sin to get where you want to go, or you're going to have to give something up along the way. I'll give you an example. Remember when Jesus Christ is tempted in the wilderness with the devil? The devil says, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you just do what? Worship me. I'll give you all these kingdoms. Well, Jesus Christ is going to eventually get all the kingdoms. But the trade-off at that time is, if you worship me, then I'll give you these kingdoms. So if you get ahead of God, what that principle is, you get ahead of God, you're going to have to trade something off. It's going to cost something. It's going to cost, I think about that with, I don't know, nutrition and stuff. I mean, we are, I don't want to say slaves to our own comfort, but it's now, and no telling how much has been traded off. How much we've... how much we've lost in the process of trying to get things faster. You understand what I'm saying? How much have we lost? Because you're going to lose something. You have to lose something. If the timing's not right, I think about, I would eat these, I don't know, we'd get some, I love strawberries. And we get these strawberries from HEB, and there's these huge, huge strawberries, and they have no flavor. And they just don't have any flavor. And it's like the farms, I mean, it's so hasty to produce and get this thing on the market, inevitably you've lost something in the process. You've lost probably nutrition. You probably lost some flavor. I mean, all that kind of stuff. So it's just like a law of, I don't know if it's a law of nature, but if you're going to speed up the process, the season, if you want to speed up the season, you will lose something. And so David understands, though, why he's waiting, because God's prescription for the cycle of things is correct. God's timing is correct. And if you get ahead of God, inevitably you're going to have to give something up. David knows why he's waiting. Why wait? Because haste and impatience cause you to lose something. Warren Buffett said this about the stock market. He said, the stock market is a device for transferring money from impatient people to patient people. Yeah, that's it. If it's emotional, you'll probably lose out. If you don't wait, you're going to have to give something up. If you just let the cycle, the fullness of time, let the Lord's timing be the timing. Solomon describes this idea of timing in Ecclesiastes. He talks about seasons. And he says this in Ecclesiastes 3. He says, to every season, how does he say it? To everything there is a season. And a time to every purpose. A time to every purpose. There's an established time. What's the established time for a baby to be born? 9 months. Well, if the baby's born a little bit early, then there's going to be some things that are not right. What is that? That means some things are given up. There's a cost to it. If the timing's not right, there's a cost to it. So think of birth, 9 months. Then you have a healthy. This is the cycle. This is the fullness of time, so to speak. And he says to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So a season is a time when a purpose can be accomplished. That full season. Get the idea. The full season is the time for the purpose to be accomplished. Well, if you cut short that time, inevitably you lose some of the purpose. You're losing out. I think you get the idea. I'm just saying it a multitude of ways here. There's a season. There's a time. There's a fullness of time, so to speak. So David knows, going back to David's waiting on God, he knows what he's waiting for. And he also knows why he's waiting. If he gets ahead of God, inevitably, something's going to be lost. If I go ahead and take Saul out of the picture, something's going to be messed up in this kingdom. If I go ahead and take matters into my own hands, something's going to be messed up. You think about it with the things we get hasty with. It seems to boil down to relationships. It comes down to money sometimes, but we get hasty with this stuff, and inevitably, the thing that you're trying to get, you not only don't get, but you lose some things along the way, because there's not patience there. David understood why he's waiting, so there's a reason to wait. There's a thing that you're waiting for. David's waiting to be king. He knows why he's waiting. And then the application, because all of those things they're mental. Like, I know what I'm waiting for, and I know why I'm waiting. But then there's the application. How do I wait? How do I wait? That's where the rubber meets the road. I know what I'm waiting for. I know why I need to wait. What I need to really apply now is how. David knew how to wait. David successfully, multiple times in his life, successfully avoided taking matters into his own hands, dealing with Saul the way he could have dealt with him. David could have put himself on the throne much earlier, but he waited. He said it wasn't his place to remove anyone God put in place. Meaning, if God put him in place, then let God remove him. If God put him there, let God take him out. It isn't your job to take him out. David said, it's not my job to take him out. And that famous verse that some folks misquote, or they take it out of context, touch not God's anointed, touch not God's anointed. David said that about Saul. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. You say, well, Saul's a bad guy. He's wicked. He tried to kill David. Well, that doesn't remove the reality that God put Saul there. God just answered the request of Israel against his own will. He said, if you want a king so bad, I'll give you the king you want. I don't want to do this, but I'll do it for you. And so Saul gets put on the throne. Samuel goes and anoints Saul. Saul's put on the throne. David said, that's God's anointed. And if God put him there, who am I to take him away? Let God take him away. David knew how to wait. He knew how. Let me not put my hands in what God's doing. If God wants to remove this man, let him remove him. Somebody said it this way: waiting for God means first, activity under command; second, a readiness for any new command that may come; and third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. The ability to just wait, to just do nothing. And so you're looking for a new command. You're waiting. You're not. Because, I mean, the temptation is so much to manipulate and to try to achieve things. I mean, we just did this last week. Some of you weren't here in the evening. But we went over Genesis 27, where Rebecca manipulates Isaac and uses Jacob and tries to manipulate the situation. And at the end of the chapter, everything's messed up now. It didn't fix anything. It didn't solve anything. She wanted to make something happen. She knows this is God's will, so I'm going to make it happen. And so she puts her hands on this thing and deceives Isaac, helps Jacob deceive Isaac. And before you know it, the chapter ends and Rebecca doesn't have any answers. And now the family hates each other. How do you wait? How do you wait? You know this verse. I'm sure you know this verse, but you may have never heard it in its context. You probably have heard the "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." You heard that verse? And then you put that verse on, you know, I'm going to get a promotion. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Or I'm going to get over this whatever it is. We just tack that verse onto, I mean, really whatever we want to tack it onto. Whatever our plans are, then you just tack the verse on. Well, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But it's always good to read the context of these things so you know what's actually being talked about. So you're not just willy-nilly creating your own religion with a bunch of verses. So here's what Paul said in context. not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to be broken, and I know how to have a lot of stuff. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Wow. That doesn't necessarily sound like me and my job promotion or whatever my thing is. It's balance. I know how to be poor. I know how to be rich. I know how to deal with adversity. And I know how to deal with blessings. And the I can do all things means I have the proper balance in Christ. I can deal with both extremes. I'd say that is one thing that early on in dealing with extremes in any ministry, I guess, as a pastor, for instance, as law enforcement. But you go from, I remember when I was still in the oil field and traveling, going to warehouses, getting phone calls and traveling around and then, you know, preaching and all that. And I remember a few times on the phone with either somebody who's getting married in the morning and then somebody's dying in the afternoon. And it's just like there's so much extreme here. It's just the emotional toll. It's like there's, and you have to learn how do I do this? How do I balance? How do I handle the desperate lows and the high highs in a 24-hour period? How do you handle that? You go from here to here, and then the next day you do the same thing again. That's and I read a verse like this, and Paul's like, you know what the thing is? I can do all things through Christ means I can find the balance. I can handle, I can be abased. I can accept the low. I can accept the high. I know how to handle the low. I know what it is. I know how to wait. I know how to wait on the Lord. How do we wait? David knew how to wait. I'm sure he knew how to be abased. I'm sure he knew how to be blessed, and he did. But how do you wait? How do you wait? I think sometimes, I know I have done this. I put an expiration date on doing good. You know what I mean? I say I'll do good until I get wore out of doing good, and then that timing, that's. I'm burned up, and you got to find strength in Christ. I mean, I think about I know you can relate to this stuff. We put an expiration date on doing good or serving God, but don't trade God's timing for your deadline. Where we say, well, if you don't do it by this point in time in my life, then God, you and I don't trust you. I'm going to start getting bitter towards you and angry and frustrated if you don't do it on my timing. And then we put this expiration date on God's timing, and we put an expiration date on our good spirit, and we give God some parameters. You know what that is? That's weight. I mean, that's like. I don't know. I can see you doing it when you're in the waiting room at the doctor's office, you know. That's literally the waiting room. You know what you're waiting for. You know how you're waiting. You know why you're waiting. But sometimes the trust between the staff is not the same trust you have with God. You sit there and you wait and you wait and you wait. And it's like, is anything happening? Are we, I don't know. I think about that because I just went to the doctor the other day. Good. I had a good report, so that's good. That's good. All my blood's okay. It's just sinful, so. Waiting. You know how to wait. How do I wait? That's the application. Think back to the application of the seasons. You know, the seasons determine what tools you use. You wouldn't... You use different implements. You use different tools for different seasons, different times. You don't go disc in harvest. I mean, I don't think you do. You just tear up your field. You use different tools. Seasons change. And seasons in life change, really. See, I mean, I know we've talked about it. Things change, and I think sometimes if we think we've done something for so long and then we can't do it anymore, we're failures. That's not true. It's just the season. It's just life. How do I wait? How do I wait when I'm 16? How do I wait when I'm 25? How do I wait when I'm 30? How do I wait when I'm 45? How do I wait when I'm 60? How do I wait when I'm 80? Guaranteed, those are going to be different things. They're different. How do I wait? How do I wait? Well, I find balance. I know how to be abased. I know how to be uplifted. I understand certain things are going to change in life. Understand the seasons change. So how I'm waiting is going to, maybe my attitude shouldn't necessarily change, but how I'm waiting will change. It's David understood not only what he's waiting for, he understood why he was waiting for it. Why should I not get ahead of God? Well, if I get ahead of God, it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me something to get ahead of God. I'm going to lose something in the process. Inevitably, I have to. If I get ahead of the season, I'm going to have to lose something. And then how? But how do I wait? How? David didn't take matters into his own hands. He didn't manipulate people. He continued to do right. What does Paul say in Galatians? He says, "Be not weary in well-doing. For in due time you'll reap." That's the season. You understand it's going to get tiring. It's going to get old. You're going to get old. I'm going to get old. We get old. Be not weary in well-doing. David knew how to wait. I think neglect and indifference about the things of God they're growing so I don't know. When I say neglect and indifference, I think, you know what? Now is not the time to fail. Now is not the time to give up. Why? Because a lot of people do. And I think, you know what? That proverb, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Like, this is the time everyone gives up. So in my thinking, it's like, this is not the time to give up. This is not the time to watch the things of God get neglected and just indifference toward the things of God, and it's like it's very disturbing, it's very depressing, and it makes you want to just say, you know what, I'm just, why? But then the alternative is, you know what? People are giving up. Now is not the time to do it, because this is what this is made for. The light shines brighter in the darkness. This is what it's made for. It's made for times of adversity. That's what your faith, that's what Jesus Christ is. I mean, it's for this. It's not to hit a wall and say, okay, I'm done. It's It's how do I wait? How do I wait? I persevere. I increase my service to God. I want to do more for the Lord. I want to pray more. I want to breed my pipe. I want to do more. Now's the time. David knew how to wait. How to wait. I know David could have, he could have just got lost in the background. When Saul hunted him, it just left, I don't know, leave the country, just get away and forget the things of God. But it's so incredible in David's life. He continues to serve God. He wants to please God. He wants, and it's like in David's mindset, he and the Lord are the only two people in the world. And he's just trying to please God. He's just trying to please God. Just, Lord, what do you want me to do? I have all these voices in my head. I have all these voices around me. And it's just, what do you want me to do? Because this is between you and me. And if I get what's between you and me right, then the rest of this stuff will be right. How do I wait on God? I'll read this last verse to you. Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence." I understand Hebrews, yeah. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after," listen to this, "after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." The tendency and the temptation is to cast away your confidence. It's just too much. It's too much to handle. I'm done. And when I say cast away your confidence, that means I'm done trusting God. I'm done applying God's words to my life. I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do because I have suffered and I have done. I can't do any more. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." I'd say David could have cast away his confidence many times. Here's the Lord that says to David, "You're going to be king." And David wins a mighty victory for a nation. And after he does that, the administration hunts him down. That's life-threatening. That's not like a little, you know, we're not friends anymore. That's life-threatening. David could have said, "You know what? I don't want to be a part of any of this," because David gets hunted multiple times. I think we went through 10 times where Saul tried to kill him. 3 times with the spear, I think, and multiple times with other people and putting him in situations where Saul wanted him to die. David's issues were life-threatening issues. But David knew what he was waiting for, knew why he was waiting, and maybe most importantly, he knew how to wait. He knew how to just let God produce the circumstances. If God puts something in motion, then let God finish the thing. If God put it in motion, then let him finish it. If God put Saul on the throne, then let him take Saul off the throne. It's not my job to do that. Now, David didn't have any trouble killing the enemies of God, the Amalekites and the Philistines. But he knew God put that in motion. He knew that man was on the throne because God, even if God didn't want him to be on the throne, God put him there. And David said, Who am I to get in the way of that? David knew how to wait. You and I can learn some things about that. Paul said it this way, I'll remind you of it. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. And Paul's saying this not because just he's going through something, but Paul's going through things and serving God doing it. That's what he's talking about. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, including wait on God. Including wait on God. What's that mean for you? Probably take your hands off something. Quit trying to manipulate the circumstances. If God put it in motion, let God play it out. Take your hands off of it. And sometimes it means put your hands, apply yourself to it. Maybe it means apply yourself to it. But waiting on God's timing, that's, like I said at the beginning, there's no way to... No way to probably teach this in 45 minutes. But I can at least direct you to these things and show you what God said about it. So when the time comes and the temptation comes, you say, you know what, I need to wait. I need to hold off. I need to apply myself, whatever the case is. But I need to let God do some work here. This is God's work. Let Him do some work there. Sam comes to the piano. We'll wrap it up there. Waiting on God's timing. Waiting on God's timing. I don't know. We get hasty with that stuff. Sometimes we gossip. We talk about it. We try to manipulate with our mouths. How do you wait? Well, you wait by serving God while you patiently let God work. Let the season play out. Let the winter come and go. Let the summer come and go. Let the fruit be fruitful. Let the seed grow up. Waiting on God. As Sam plays, we can have a little time of just thinking about what we heard, and you can bow your heads, close your eyes.